Chapter 12. Styles jolts to his feet, and Matt snaps, "Don't!" And Styles freezes, seeing the way his hand tightens on the trigger. "My God, Tommy, are you..." "Shut up!" Matt says. "Put your hands on the table, both of you. Styles, don't fucking move or I'll blow your father's head off." "Matt," Sheriff Stilinski says. "It's Matt, right? I can guarantee you that there's a solution that doesn't involve a gun." "Well, there would have been if you guys didn't have to poke your nose into where it doesn't belong," Matt snaps, keeping the muzzle of the gun pressed against Tom's chest. Styles takes a deep breath and looks right at Matt. He hears Tomas' sharp intake of breath, and he knows that his eyes are bright crimson. Knows that there's no power in the universe strong enough to keep them brown while his father's life is in danger. "Matt," he says, "I will give you one chance to put down that gun and stop threatening my father. If you don't take it, you'll be leaving here in a body bag. You have no idea how far in over your head you are right now." "You think you're such a goddamn badass?" Matt sneers at him. "I'm not afraid of you. I know you and your friends are all werewolves. I know that there have been trolls and fairies and sorcerers wandering around. Beacon Hills is like a freaking Halloween party every full moon. But you couldn't stop me from killing the people I needed to kill, and you can't stop me now." "Do you want a fucking bet?" Styles growls. "Okay," Matt says. "I'll take that bet." His arm swings around and he pulls the trigger. Styles stumbles backwards, knocks over his chair, and winds up on his back on the floor. He hears Malena scream, and his father swears, and then Matt says, "No, don't! Don't fucking move! Get back!" "I'm okay," Styles chokes out, but he's pretty sure he isn't. He puts a hand on his chest, moves it down until he encounters the damp warmth he had been expecting. He can smell the blood, can taste it in his mouth. He thinks that might be because he bit down on his own tongue. Malena's on her knees next to him, pressing her napkin into his abdomen, and he chokes back a whimper. Matt is still yelling, so Styles says louder, "I'm okay, do what he says." His vision clears and he sees that Tomas is still sitting at the kitchen table, frozen, and Matt still has the gun pressed into his father's chest. There's a look of mutiny on Sheriff Stilinski's face, but so far, he's towing the line. Matt gestures at Styles with his other hand and says, "Get up, Stilinski." "What, Matt? He can't," the sheriff starts. "Shut up," Matt yells, right in his face. "Matt," Styles says, taking care to keep his voice slow and calm, "I'm shot. I'm not getting up." "He needs a doctor," Malena says, her wrinkled hands clenching down desperately in the napkin she has pressed against Styles' wound. "You think so?" Matt asks. "Get the fuck up, Stilinski." "Listen to me," Styles tries to shout, but it comes out more of a wheeze. "I'm not a fucking werewolf, okay?" "Oh, give me a..." "No, really," Styles says. I'm not trying to say that werewolves aren't real, or you're delusional, or that I'm not part of a pack. I am, okay? But I'm not a werewolf, and I am going to die if I don't get medical attention. Do you fucking understand me?" "Shut up," Matt says in response. "Jesus fucking Christ," Styles says, frustrated. He's in pain, but he's had worse. And honestly, he can handle this. But Matt's complete unreasonableness is about to drive him around the bend. Before he can say anything else, the sheriff's cell phone is ringing. "Don't answer that," Matt says, so Tom doesn't move. It goes to voicemail. Minutes later, the home phone rings. "Don't answer that either." "Matt, we have to..." "Shut up!" Matt shouts again. And the cell phone rings again. Okay, okay. Answer it, but put it on speaker. Sheriff Stilinski nods. He moves slowly, pulling the phone out of his pocket and tapping the screen. This is Sheriff Stilinski. Tom, it's Carmichael. We had a 911 call of shots fired at your residence. Is everything okay? Tom opens his mouth to answer, but Matt's already talking. No, it's not okay, he says. If I see a single cop within 50 feet of this house, I'm gonna blow your precious sheriff's head off. Is that fucking clear? Who is this? Carmichael demands, but Matt is already grabbing the phone and disconnecting the call. He's no sooner done that when Stiles' phone rings. You'd better let me answer, Stiles says through gritted teeth, or you're going to have 8 different werewolves up your ass. If I see a single werewolf, you'll blow my dad's head off. Yeah, I'm getting the idea, Daler, Matt says. The phone stops ringing and then starts again. I'm serious. Put it on speaker. Malena has to get the phone out of Stiles' pocket, and he chokes back a bubble of agony when she lifts him up slightly. His breathing is harsh and rapid as she touches the buttons on the phone with shaking fingers. Stiles glances at the phone and sees that it's Allison. That makes sense. None of the others would bother to call first. Stiles, what's going on? She demands as soon as the line opens. Stiles is indisposed, Matt says. I need you to... He's obviously thinking, or at least hoping, that Allison won't recognize his voice. But she immediately snarls, Daler, you piece of shit! Listen to me, bitch! Matt says. I've got a gun pointed at Sheriff Stilinski's heart, and if you say one more word without my permission, I'm gonna pull the trigger. Is that clear? Silence. I said, is that fucking clear? Silence. Tell her she can talk, you fuckwad, Stiles rasps out. Matt's jaw tightens, but he says, you can talk if I ask you a direct question. Now is that clear? It's clear, Allison says. Her voice is cool, crisp, and professional, and absolutely murderous. Now, you'd better keep any of your fucking pack from breaking through the windows. Nobody can get into this house and take me down before I pull the trigger on your precious sheriff and the old folks, so you'd better not even try. Is that clear? Clear, Allison says. Let me talk to her, Stiles says. Matt's eyes narrow, but he nods and says, you have 3 sentences, and if you tell her anything that you shouldn't... He doesn't bother to finish the threat, which is probably a good thing. Stiles closes his eyes and concentrates on his breathing for a few moments, getting his priorities in order. Allison, make sure none of the pack disobeys and tries to get into the house, he finally says. Okay, she says. It won't be an easy task, and she knows it, but he has faith that she's up to it. Tell Scott to call Deaton and tell him I need to use the doll. What does that mean? Matt snarls. Deaton is a sorcerer, Stiles says. It's like a voodoo doll of me, but it's for beneficial purposes, not malevolent ones. He'll be able to use it to keep my condition stable until I can get medical care, since, you know, you fucking shot me and you refuse to believe that I can't heal? Matt clearly still doesn't believe it, but then he just waves a hand to tell Stiles to get on with things. Stiles thinks about his 3rd sentence for a long minute before he says, under no circumstances do I want Agent McCall allowed to do the hostage negotiating. Understood, Allison says. Matt grabs the phone, disconnects the call, and then drops it in a pitcher of water. Stiles lets out a little sigh and then grunts as Malena shifts the napkin. Matt, please. He needs... She tries again. Shut up! Matt waves the gun at her, and she shuts up. You, he points at Tomas, go close all the curtains. I'm watching you. Don't try anything stupid. Tomas nods and gets to his feet. He squeezes Malena's shoulder as he walks past her and starts closing all the curtains. They can hear sirens now, and a few moments later, the squeal of tires. Matt walks over to the window, dragging the sheriff with him, and peeks out. The cops must be staying 50 feet away as he requested, because he doesn't have a freakout. Things seem to settle down a little. Tom starts trying to talk to him again. His voice is trembling, but he's handling himself. Matt, we can work this out, okay? You just tell us what you want. I know you don't want to hurt anybody.
Actually, I want to hurt a lot of people, Matt says. You guys weren't on my list, but you persuaded me.
Jesus, after all the work I went to make it look accidental, you guys just wouldn't let it go.
Which is why you kept trying to weasel your way into the pack, Stiles says. You were trying to keep track of the investigation.
Sheriff Selinsky's phone rings again. Matt ignores it. He starts pacing back and forth, but the moment anyone moves, he waves the gun at them. The phone rings and rings and rings. God, shut that thing up, Matt snarls.
Matt, they want to know your demands, Tom says, trying to stay calm. You're holding a cop and 3 civilians hostage. They know shots have been fired. They'll send SWAT in here if you don't answer the phone.
Matt grabs the phone and shouts, If this thing rings again in the next 5 minutes, I'll kill a hostage. I'm trying to fucking think.
Then he hangs up and slams it back down on the table. It doesn't ring again.
Stiles tries to look at his watch, but his arms feel weak. Milena presses one hand against his forearm and says,
Hush now, honey. Lie still. You're going to be fine. I've seen people survive worse than this. You'd better believe I have.
He looks up at her and tries to bring her into focus.
You aren't surprised, he says. You knew.
Oh, Promiswolf, I knew since about day 3 after I got here that you and your friends were a pack, Milena says. You don't grow up in Polish Chicago without knowing about the supernatural world. I had a shop for a little while selling herbal remedies, and it was quite common for people to come in for cures for hexes or protection spells. And I...
Lie still, I said. She adds, pressing down harder against the napkin. She looks up at Matt.
It's soaking through. I need to get a towel or something.
Matt's face twists, but he gestures at Tomas and says,
Get her a towel. I don't want him croaking because he's too stubborn to heal himself.
God, how did someone as stupid as you manage to commit such skillful murders? Stiles mutters. He can hear noise outside.
The cops are getting organized, setting up a perimeter, settling in for a standoff. The pack is there, too. He can feel them. From some, he can feel anguish, like Derek, Isaac, and Mac. From others, like Boyd and Lydia, a waiting watchfulness. And from some, Erica and Scott, he can feel rage. It swirls inside him. He tries to keep as much of it shut out as possible.
Milena folds up the towel and replaces the napkin with it. The wound is starting to feel uncomfortably warm. He wonders if that's normal for a gunshot wound, or if it has something to do with the spell Deaton is using.
Okay, Matt finally says. First things first. These murders were accidents. You're going to delete all the evidence otherwise and mark them all down as accidents. Except Kara. She was a suicide. Got that?
Don't tell me, Sheriff Stilinski says, somewhat wearily. He keeps casting anxious glances at Stiles. I can't do anything from here.
I'm gonna need a way out, Matt says. He shakes his head. Damn it, this wasn't supposed to go like this, but I heard you assholes talking in the hospital yesterday when I went to take care of Jessica. You were too fucking close.
He paces around for another minute.
Allison's dad. He's a hunter, right? He drives that big-ass SUV. Is it armored?
Yeah, Stiles says.
Although in reality, he has no idea.
Tinted windows, right?
Yeah, Stiles rasps again.
Okay, I'll need money. How much money have you got?
On me? Stiles asks.
No, asshole! Matt screams suddenly, and Milena flinches. I know your goddamn pack is rich. Do you think there's anybody in town who doesn't know that? Don't tell me you don't have a fat stack of cash somewhere in case you need to make a getaway. How much is it?
Stiles breathes out slowly.
50,000. Is it here?
No, the den. Derek's house.
Derek, that asshole. He's super rich, right? How much money does he have? Jesus, Matt, I don't know. I'm not his fucking accountant. Give me an estimate, for Christ's sake.
Stiles thinks back to the cost of building the house, the talks about college and moving apartments, the semester in Neptune, the art gallery, the insurance money. Numbers blur in his head for a moment before he says,
rough guess, probably around 100 million, but you can't ask for that much, Matt. It's all tied up in stocks or bonds and CDs and that kind of shit.
Matt paces around for a few moments. He seems to be thinking this over.
Okay, he finally says. Okay.
The phone rings again. Matt gestures with the gun, and Tom picks it up.
This is Sheriff Stilinski.
Hey, Tom, Carmichael says. How are you guys doing in there?
It's been a little rough, Tom says.
What about that gunshot? Is somebody hurt?
The sheriff's voice tightens, but he keeps his cool.
Stiles has been shot. It's serious, but not critical. Not yet, anyway.
There's a ripple of noise through the phone, but Stiles knows the pack isn't surprised.
I believe our friend here has some demands.
Yeah, Matt interrupts. First of all those accidents that you guys thought were murders, they were accidents. And you're going to delete any evidence that says otherwise. Then I want an armored car. Allison Argent's out there, right? Her dad drives one. I want his. Full tank of gas.
There are some murmurs in the background. Stiles has his eyes closed so he can focus on his hearing. Somewhere in the back, he hears Victoria say, I'll do it. So even Victoria is there. That's interesting. Sometimes the Argent family surprises him. And the fact that she's offering to go fill up the tank means that Chris is in a sniper position already. Stiles wonders about the logistics of maneuvering Matt in front of one of the windows.
Okay, Carmichael says. Anything else?
Yeah, money. 500,000. Hale has it.
More murmurs. Derek's voice is thin with barely suppressed anguish and rage.
I'll need to go to the bank. Give me half an hour.
You've got 20 minutes, Matt says.
Jesus, you've seen too many movies, Stiles says. Matt waves the gun at him, and he shuts up.
Okay, we're going to take care of all of this, Carmichael says. How about you send out a hostage as a show of good faith? Stiles needs medical attention. Let him get it.
No, I'm not done with Stiles yet. You've got 20 minutes.
Matt hangs up. When Matt starts pacing again, Stiles risks a look at his father. After a few minutes, Tom's gaze shifts to him. Stiles makes a gun with his fingers and mouths Argent. Then he looks at the windows. Tom looks over at them too and gives a slight nod to indicate that he understands. While Matt's pacing, he shifts a little closer to them. If he can get near them without Matt noticing, he might be able to get Matt in front of the window. The curtains are drawn, but when the sun sets, he'll still make a silhouette.
What do you mean you're not done with me yet? Stiles asks, trying to keep Matt distracted.
You think I'm walking out of here vulnerable? Matt says. Fuck no! You're gonna make me one of you!
Give you the bite? Stiles asks.
He closes his eyes and tries to gather his patience.
For fuck's sake, Matt! How much more do I have to bleed before this is clear? I'm not a fucking werewolf! Shut up!
Matt screams at him. The vein in his forehead throbs dangerously.
I know you're a goddamn werewolf. The only reason you're not healing is because you knew I would ask for this, and you don't want to give it to me. Everyone knows that you're a goddamn werewolf and that you're in charge of the pack. Do you think I'm fucking stupid?
Well, since you ask, Stiles says, unable to pass such an easy opening. The endorphins are making him a little giddy. He sees his father close his eyes in momentary pain.
If you had just kept your nose out of what wasn't your business. Solving murders is the sheriff's job, fucknut. But it's not yours. You're only supposed to get involved when there's supernatural bullshit going on. That's why I made sure these looked like accidents.
Matt continues to pace around while Sheriff Stilinski edges a little closer to the window.
It's more than they deserved, especially Leahy, the asshole. If he hadn't let them drink.
Let who drink? And then Matt is going off on a long story about how he had nearly drowned in the Leahy's pool when he was a child. The pieces fall into place, and everything makes sense.
which Styles thinks just figures, now that he's lying on the floor with a bullet in his gut. And I had to do it now, because I'm leaving for Los Angeles in August. I had to get it done while I was still here. I knew I'd never be able to sleep without feeling like I was drowning until they were dead. So I had to... The phone rings. After a pause, Sheriff Stilinski answers it. It's Carmichael again. But Styles can hear McCall in the background, protesting. He's the FBI agent on the scene. He should be the one in charge. Styles grimaces, because he can think of few ways to make this get worse than to put that spurlicious asshole on the phone with someone as unstable as Matt. Fortunately, he can also hear Scott's voice telling his father to be quiet, so at least he's on the case. "We've had a little hitch," Carmichael says, trying to keep his voice calm and even.
"What sort of fucking hitch?"
Matt demands. "Well, we've officially closed the cases like you asked, marked them down as accidents, every one," Carmichael says, his tone reassuring. "But, Sheriff Stilinski closes his eyes. "McCall." "Yes, sir. Agent McCall refuses to close his end of the investigation."
"Does Agent McCall want people in here to get shot?"
Matt snaps. "Actually, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if the answer to that question was yes," Styles says. "Come on, Matt, let it go. You'll get your car and your money. You can go on the run. It doesn't matter if they close the investigation or not."
"It matters to me,"
Matt says, and punches the button on the phone to end the call. "I don't want my parents thinking that I'm a murderer. I only did what I had to do."
"You know what? Fuck you,"
Styles retorts. He tries to sit up, but can't.
"You're just a goddamn psychopath with a good excuse. You killed people because you wanted to kill people. And these were good targets. Do you think I haven't been through shit easily twice as bad as nearly drowning in a pool? Peter Hale left me in the trunk of his car for 2 entire days. Sebastian Stone tried to kill my Lupa and nearly sliced me in half. And neither of them are around anymore, are they?" Matt retorts.
"No, they aren't," Styles says.
"But I never, never would have let a 2-year-old girl be collateral damage. If you want to perch up on your moral high ground and cry trauma while Tanya's orphaned and brain damaged in the hospital, you have come to the wrong fucking place."
Matt grinds his heel down on Styles' abdomen. He cries out in agony, and Milena shouts too, because her fingers are caught between them. Sheriff Stilinski starts forward, but Matt sees him coming and spins, putting the gun right in his face.
"Don't!" he screams. "Get back!"
"Jesus, Matt," Tom swears. "Do what he says," Styles coughs out. Blood is dripping down his chin.
"Matt, listen to me. Even if McCall agrees, he won't do it. That's the kind of asshole he is. I know him. Just take what you have and go."
Matt stares at him for a long moment.
"Okay," he says, "if you give me the bite."
"Matt, for fuck's sake, how many times do I have to?"
"And I get Allison,"
Matt says. Styles coughs again.
"Pretty sure that kidnapping her won't make her like you any better," he says.
And Matt presses the gun into the side of Tom's neck, hard.
"Jesus, okay, okay. Just please let my family go, okay?"
The phone rings again. Matt picks it up and snaps.
"Forget McCall. Is my money here?"
"Just arrived," Carmichael says. "And your car is ready." He takes a deep breath. "How would you like to proceed?"
"Send Allison in with the money,"
Matt says. And there's another ripple of conversation.
Styles is thrilled with the idea of Allison coming in with the money. Allison will probably break all of Matt's fingers if given half the chance. "Leave the car in the driveway, running, and pull everyone back."
"How about you send out a hostage in exchange for Allison and the money?" Carmichael asks. Another pause.
"Yeah, okay," Matt says. "I'll send out the 2 old farts. How's that? But Styles and the sheriff will stay with me until I'm clear of here."
"Styles needs medical."
"Styles is a lying piece of shit,"
Matt says, and hangs up. A minute passes in tense silence. Then the doorbell rings. Come in! Matt shouts. It opens, and Allison walks down the hallway and into the kitchen. Stiles watches her gaze flicker around the room, taking in the positions not only of the people, but possible weapons, exits, strategies. She's holding a metal briefcase. She opens it to display the stacks of money inside. 500,000, as promised, she says, and the car is where you want it. Okay, Matt waves the gun at Tomas and Milena. Go! I'm going to say goodbye to my grandson, Milena says stiffly. She leans over and takes one of Stiles' hands, pressing it down into the towel so he can hold it there. Matt doesn't care. He only has eyes for Allison and the money. Milena opens Stiles' hand and presses something into it. Something small. You're going to be fine, Stiles, she whispers and kisses his forehead. We'll see you soon. Tomas helps her off the floor. Stiles clenches his fist down on what she gave him and feels a sharp pain in his palm. It's a knife, barely 3 inches long. He spares a moment to wonder where in God's name his mother got a knife, and if it was something she carried all the time, just in case. Milena kisses the sheriff on the cheek, and then she and Tomas leave through the front. Are you armed? Matt asks Allison. No, Allison says. Yeah, well, I don't trust you, Matt says, and moves towards her. She takes a step back. Don't touch me. Would you rather strip? Matt asks. Okay, Allison says, which clearly surprises him. She pulls her shirt over her head, steps out of her skirt, even peels down her tights. She's left standing there in her underwear, while Matt stares. It's an excellent opportunity for Stiles to open his palm and glance down at the blade in his hand. It looks a little like one of Allison's Chinese ring daggers or Japanese kunai, but smaller. The blade itself fits into his palm, and it's wickedly sharp. The hilt has been tucked up his sleeve so it won't be seen. Allison spins and says, "Satisfied, you repulsive sack of crap?" Matt's jaw tightens and says, "Good enough." "Then let's go." "Not yet," Matt says. "Stiles still hasn't given me the bite." Allison's face is blank with confusion for a moment. Her gaze flickers towards Stiles, as Sheriff Stilinski is saying, "You just don't get it, do you?" Matt shoves the gun back in his face. "What I get is that they'll be cleaning your brains off the far wall if Stiles doesn't do what I've told him to do. I'm not an idiot. I'm not walking out there vulnerable and getting shot and killed." "Dad, it's okay," Stiles says. "I'll do it." "Stiles, you can't." "Clearly, I'm going to have to," Stiles says. He tries to sit up, but pain flares and he grits out a cry and sags backwards. For a few moments, he can't even breathe through it. Or maybe that's all the blood that's undoubtedly filling up his lung. He's not sure. "Jesus, kid," Tom says, going to his knees where Milena was a few minutes earlier, grabbing the towel, oblivious to the fact that Matt's still holding the gun on him. "Easy, easy." Matt grimaces when Sheriff Stilinski moves away from him, but doesn't shoot. Instead, he grabs Allison by the elbow and pushes the gun into her ribs. That's step one. Stiles doesn't want Allison to get shot, but he's far more confident in her abilities to dodge or disarm Matt if it really looks like he's going to pull the trigger. Now that the gun is no longer trained on his father, he can stop and take a breath. "Help me sit up," he says, and his father props him up, looking unhappy about it. He coughs wetly, tasting blood. He's going to have to make this quick. "Matt, come down here," Stiles says. "No, I can't stand. Jesus, just get down here." "Fine," Matt growls, pulling Allison with him. "But if you do anything stupid, I'll shoot her." "Yeah, I figured that out," Stiles says. Matt is now kneeling in front of him. That's step two. "But remember that this isn't like a little nibble. This is a bite. It's going to hurt. You'd better not shoot anybody because I gave you what you asked for." "I'll do my best," Matt says sarcastically. "Take your shirt off," Stiles says, "so I can get to your skin. Upper arm is good." Matt looks at Allison and smirks. "Take my shirt off." Allison doesn't hesitate. Despite the gun in her ribs, she reaches down, grabs the hem of Matt's shirt, and peels it up and off of him.
He switches the gun from one hand to the other while she gets it off him. Stiles uses the brief moment when his view is obscured to slide the knife so the hilt is in his hand instead of the blade. Allison glances down and casually drops Matt's shirt on top of it. Then she leans back a little, making herself some space to get to Matt's wrist and disarm him, if she needs to.
"You ready?" Stiles asks.
"Get on with it," Matt says. Stiles leans forward and presses his mouth against Matt's bicep, and he bites down as hard as he possibly can. He doesn't have fangs, but human teeth can be surprisingly sharp when needed, and he can taste blood, none of which matters because while Matt is totally focused on that, he swings his other arm up and drives the knife into Matt's throat. He lets out a cry that's more of a gurgle and pitches backwards. Stiles twists the knife as he pulls it out to make the wound larger. Allison's already moving, knocking the gun aside before Matt can even think about pulling the trigger. But he doesn't. He lands flat on his back, convulses once, and goes still. If he's not already dead, it's only because his body hasn't realized it yet. Allison's already on her feet. She sprints into the front hallway, wrenches the door open, and screams, "Scott! Medics!" Everything gets very blurry and confusing. "You're okay. You're okay," his father is saying over and over again. Then Scott is there, gently taking the towel, and Stiles looks up at him and rasps, "Alpha down." And Scott laughs a little despite himself, and right about then is when Stiles passes out.